Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 134. In this show, we're going to be talking about the best LMSs for higher education, colleges, universities, schools, anything teaching education. There's a lot of choice out there. We're going to be looking at the SaaS plus the WordPress solutions out there. Should be a great show. So, Kirk, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Love to, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Onen. I own a company called Manana Nomas, and we focus largely on membership and learning websites, as well as work directly with the great team at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. Like I say, we'll be going into all the best choices when it comes to learning management systems for higher education. Should be a great show. You should get some great value from it. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the show, I also want to point out that we've got a great course done by Kirk himself that shows you how to build a managed membership website using a learning management system, Lifter LMS, and the best page builder, all the best WordPress technology from beginning to end. It's normally around $49, but we're doing a special offer. You get it at half price. Plus, if you buy the course, you'll get a coupon that will take 50% off your first year's hosting with WP Tonic, and you will have access to all the technology Kirk shows you how to use. What a great combination. You can get this plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services. You can get all this by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you can get all the goodies there. What more could you ask for? So before we go into specifics, what's your observations about the choices out there, Kirk? What would you like to share before we go, like I say, into specific solutions?
The very title of the show, in my mind anyway, it makes some assumptions that the audience for this show has some basic understandings about, corporate and higher level education sources. The main thing that I come into is, there's literally hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of choices for platforms to look at. And we could only really scratch the surface. Some of the names that you picked on this list, Jonathan, right up my alley. These are some of the things I worked with at Ducati and Suzuki and BRP and places like that. And then there's a couple of others that are on my radar as well. But this will be good.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of choice out there. I've just chosen some that I think got some traction or more than some traction. Some of them have a large share of the market. But they're all ones. There is one, maybe one or two that, only one, I wouldn't say I was concerned, but it's a much smaller player. But they seem to be some of the leaders in the market.
Well, you have a couple on the list, Jonathan, that are almost like the Google of e-learning, meaning in my frame set for saying that, like they're almost the verb or the go-to word for it. So even if someone wasn't using that platform, they might call it that, right? They'll say, go to the Blackboard or go to the Canvas or go to the, and that's not even what they're using. They're just, those brands are so ubiquitous in use in the industry that sometimes the title of those, it's like a Post-it note. It's not always made by Post-it, right? But we all know that it's a piece of paper with some sticky stuff on it. Yeah, there's a couple of really well-known, well-used, well-established names on this list. And to be more clear, I think if we're talking, there's differences in audiences. There's a difference between someone that's shopping for the LMS and a difference in someone that's the instructional designer making the content for the LMS. And in a lot of cases, those are two completely separate people. So it's interesting to have this breakdown today.
Yeah, and that's an oddity of the situation. It not doesn't solely apply to higher education. It applies to any organisation that's got any kind of budget. The content tends to be divorced by the decision maker who's going to choose the particular technology platform. So let's start with Canvas LMS. I've got my own views. I haven't used this in anger. I did a fair bit of research on all this before I knew we were going to discuss it in the show today. So do you know anything about it, and what's your own conclusions about it?
Well, Canvas as a product is a phenomenal product. I mean, it's established, it's consistent, it's reliable, like all of those things. But what I don't see, well, and we're going to see this with most of these tools, so let's just put this out there right away. The environment doesn't lend a lot to its creativity. And so it's good at getting students in, student reporting, it runs SCORM material, it syncs with reporting, it does those things, but it's not giving you complete design freedom to create the environment around the learning. And that's a lot of the learning management systems we're discussing today are like that, where it's just a site that provides the learning and the reporting. And then it's kind of understood that it's either a subdomain to another project, or it is, there's other marketing material or other material that goes around this product, as opposed to being that product.
Yeah, well, the research I did in it, Kirk, is it was started in 2011. It was started by two founders that were at Brigham Young University in Utah. They were frustrated. I think that they were part-time or involved in producing content for the Brigham Young University, and they were frustrated, and I think they were into development and IT, and they produced their own, which was initially supported and developed for the Brigham Young University. And then the reviews I watched and read, you get a kind of blank canvas, and you're supposed to have, which is a little bit different to what you're stating. The reviews I watched and read, they were saying it's compared to some of the other offerings in the SaaS world, it offered a lot more ability to produce your own content. It was a white canvas, pun there. But as I was watching the content and reading it, I was thinking, well, maybe, but you get the ultimate control by looking at WordPress and some of the solutions there. So I was a little bit bemused by what seems to be one of its powerful selling points. The interface looked fine. The key elements to it, and yeah, that was my impression. How would you respond, Kurt?
I think we're going to find similar descriptions among the different products, because remember, the instructional design is kind of removed from the actual platform.
Yes.
And so that's kind of the hard thing to kind of really thinking about, Membership Machine Show and who our audience normally is. We're talking about, membership and learning websites, and we talk about other things in the WordPress space or even Kajabi space. Right, where you're building the course inside the site, and inside there's a course builder as part of the platform. a lot of these professional high-level LMSs don't have course builders. So you're building the instructional development is happening in Articulate 360, Captivate. I think there's one called Spring or iSpring.
Yeah, iSpring Learn, yes.
Yeah, and that content is then imported into these systems. And so if I was going to say, and I know people at Canvas probably wouldn't like this likening, but like I recently did a project in LearnUpon, and LearnUpon was like that, very plain, you know, open Canvas, if you will, just very plain and open, and then you put your content in it, and then it's there.
You can use it the way you described, but it does have a forum chat ability.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of functionality there, and it seems the price seems fair. It's $5 per user. Obviously, you've got to find out if that's $5 per user is active or non-active. That's what you've always got to check, isn't it?
So that pricing model is the exact reason that I searched and looked for anything outside of these types of platforms. That's what led me originally to WordPress. And then in WordPress, I went through Tutor LMS, Learn Dash, and Lifter LMS, finally settling on Lifter LMS for my stuff. And it was my whole inspiration to go the WordPress route was because of these pricing models that are based on user licensing. Because as your project grows, your costs keep growing. It never slows down. It keeps getting more and more expensive.
Yeah. On to the next one, which is I suppose one of the big daddies in the area, that's Blackboard. I think the price starts at $9,500 per year.
Plus after that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of pluses, isn't there? If somebody was asking you about Blackboard, how would you describe it to them?
This is one of those situations, Jonathan, where people, it's kind of like to switch the gear. Sometimes we'll say, oh, we can build you a really cool thing in WordPress. And someone's like, oh, I don't want to use WordPress. It's like that instantaneous reflex without having the facts. I find customers that mention Blackboard, they mention Blackboard because they've heard of Blackboard or because they used it at another school before, or they feel a certain familiarity with it from a certain environment. But I can't wrap my head around what it delivers versus what it costs over time and over expansion and scale. It is expensive. But again, I'm going to say the same thing I said with Canvas. Is it reliable? Yes. Does it do what it says it's going to do? Yes. Does it host your SCORM content? Absolutely. But that pricing model, I mean, you're out 10 grand a year before you even start to sign people up.
Yeah, it's an old saying in IT. If you buy a service or product from IBM, you're going to be taken to the cleaners, but you're not going to get sacked. And I think with a lot of people, Blackboard is the safe traditional offering. In no shape or form, in my opinion, is it a market leader. It's weak in many areas when it comes to UX and usability design. And I don't know many people that end users or people that have to attempt to in the back end that love it. But that's my opinion. On to the next one. Brightspace by 2DL. Don't know much. Did some research on it. To me, you could kind of classify it as a direct competitor to Blackboard, and I think it started in Canada. I think it started off with a couple of developers in Canada, and I think it was a Canadian university. In some ways, it's parallel to Canvas. Canada, a Pacific university, they saw opening and they built it up. It didn't seem to have the best looking interface to me, and the reviews I watched kind of confirmed my impression. Do you know much about it at all?
You kind of touched on some of my personal thoughts on this and something I wanted to point out. So, and we got here, so that's great. When you look at Canvas and you look at Blackboard, you are seeing two very established, very recognized, very respected platforms. But to me, they offer very little anything from design, from freedom of design to user experience to, I mean, you get what you get, cookie cutter, put your content in, here's the reporting, have a nice day. And it works. It does what they say it's going to do. And there are functions, like Jonathan pointed out, you can add, you know, a chat function or a forum function. But when you look at D2L, they did some interesting things. They added some what I consider deeper elements of design to their platform. It seems like there's a little more freedom of design. And the other thing is, while the other platforms really held faithful to this idea of SCORM and SCORM development and Articulate 360 and Captivate and that whole, you know, that whole microcosm of development, D2L specifically stepped out of that and invited people like with that H5P mindset. And if you're not familiar with H5P, H5P is like the open sourced solution to a lot of that Articulate 360 stuff, but it's open sourced, it's free. Articulate 365, last I checked, was like $3,300 a year for a license per person. So I think D2L made a really good strategy move. They made a site that looked good. They added some of those design elements for their clients, and they went after kind of that direct market that was away from that super expensive instructional design side. H5P is more like, you can be more of a course creator and less of a instructional designer to work with H5P and be more hands-on with building your content. So I like the direction they went there. I think that's cool.
It's fantastic. I did some research on price. All I could find is the price is on request. So
that's always scary.
So I presume it's expensive. On to the next one. Educate me. Did some research on the company based in New York. It was a startup with VC backing. I think they got 9 people in the team. Got a much more modern interface, UX design. But to me, I can't remember how many years they've been in the sector, but they in no way do they compare to Canva or Blackboard. But and it looked a more modern interface, got more of what I would expect, but I don't know too much about it. Do you know anything more?
I don't know if people are going to remember this, but like, do you remember before it became LinkedIn Learning, it was called Lynda Learning?
Yes.
The platform to me feels like a Lynda Learning kind of thing, like the way it's structured. But as far as using it, this is one of those fringe items that I haven't had a chance to try yet. So I really don't have any hands-on first-person knowledge of it, other than the look and feel of it. I did think it was kind of cool that it has some integrations that are, as far as newer things would go, would be expected. Like it has a Slack integration, for example.
Yes.
That is like when you look at Canvas or Blackboard, that's not right at the top of the list, right? And so the idea that as a newer platform in the market, they're going to add those types of features, that might be real attractive to some folks.
It does seem, but I'm not being disparaging to them, but it just seems to be an enormous amount of players in this secondary market. And what I mean by the secondary is they're not second rate. It's just that there's some big players, and there always seems to be new SaaS players trying to muscle in to the learning management area, doesn't it? It's a bit like CRMs. There's always some new CRM out there, isn't it?
I always struggle to figure out, Jonathan, where that confidence comes from, because I look at the e-learning market as being incredibly saturated. I mean, there's just hundreds upon hundreds of choices for places to host your course. And in fact, when we talk to people like Chris from Lifter LMS, he's the first to say, oh, I thought I was late to market. I thought I was already too late to the game. And that turned out it kind of worked for them. But their platform works a little differently than its competition. So then you go, okay, well, that's the difference. These other platforms, when they pop up and they go, hey, we can host your SCORM material for $150 a month, that's probably real attractive because their opening pricing model was, I think, $150 a month. And when you compare that to Blackboard at 10 grand a year, you go, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. I'll try that out. But then in the back of your mind, you're always thinking, should I go on with Blackboard? Should I go on with Blackboard?
Yeah, I think we're going to go for a break. I've got some more SaaSes, and then we'll go on to the open source and WordPress. But I think we go for a break, and then we've got a right balance of what we covered in the first and what we got left in the second. Hopefully you found this content useful. I think we've gone through a lot in the first half. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
And coming back, folks, I want to point out another great resource for you. And this one's totally free. It's the Membership Machine Show Facebook group. It's totally free on Facebook. All you have to do is go onto Facebook, put in the Membership Machine group in, and we'll pop up. And it's totally free. And if you've got any questions that come to you during listening to the show, you can ask them there. What more could you ask for? On we go. I updated the show notes and I emailed you. Hopefully you got it.
Yeah.
I just added Absorb LMS and Talent LMS. Obviously there's differences, but when you're doing a review on SaaS, these two seem really in a death battle. They always seem to come up. The titles are very similar. Absorb LMS, Talent LMS. Talent has a much more their pricing structure seems more clear cut, where Absorb, you've got to get the prices on request. But they've got a very clean but sparing interface, both of them, I think. They look very similar, but there must be differences. Got any thoughts on either one, Kurt?
I have not used Absorb LMS before, but when I was going through their stuff today, I know it's probably a great feature. I know that people are going to love when I mention this, and they're probably going to say, Kurt, why do you seem so reserved about this? But they are really pushing this artificial intelligence course generation. And when you go through this, I know that people are going to be like, oh, I got to have this. But I want to really stress everything, a grain of salt with this AI stuff. Seamless course creation, smarter course recommendations, strategic upskilling. And so strategic upskilling is, from what I understand, it's like based on the results of your student, we're going to give them this content instead. It's very interesting to me. I want to see how this works. I know that with the work I've done with a lot of the e-learning projects in the past, we have leveraged AI for different things with outlining or, you know, trying to come up with different user-centered benefits from using AI. And it is very, very difficult. It's not everyone trying to make it sound like this is some easy thing is killing me right now, because I think this is extremely difficult. And if this company has figured out a platform or a process or a prompt sequence that seems to help developers, I'm kind of curious. I'd kind of like to try it, to be honest with you.
Well, I think you put it very well there. The benefits and the prospects of it are very clear, but we're in very early days, aren't we? And the examples I've seen, I'm not being that impressed, to be truthful, but they, you know, they've got a lot of experience. They've been in the market quite a while. Like I say, Absorb is price on request with talent. These are monthly prices, by the way, folks. The core is $149 for 1 to 40 users. Grow is $299. 1 to 70 users. Pro, $579 per month, is 1 to 100 users. I don't know if they're active or not. I would imagine they're just users. But they really do seem to be head-to-head in where one is being talked about, the other is around. So,
well, something that I think needs to be pointed out that I probably just did a really poor job of doing earlier. All of the platforms we've mentioned so far have been about hosting your content. You're going to have an instructional designer, or you're the instructional designer or whatever, right? But you're making the content and you're looking for a platform to put that content into. Whereas Absorb LMS, they have a list of courses that fall in with this AI kind of thing. And so there's like, I believe it was 20,000 courses or something like that, that they have that become part of this upskilling menu base. And so part of your pricing is going to be access to content that you don't even have to make.
Well, I think all the major players, WordPress, or they're all going to be doing this very soon, with different type of quality results. But yeah, I because you've seen that with websites, we offer that AI in building your website on our platform.
Yeah.
But we, because we're in the WordPress space, the major players haven't introduced that yet. They're going to. I can guarantee you that. We just have to see how it goes. But they're all the major players in SaaS or WordPress are going to be adding that one. It's just a natural, isn't it? In some ways, you want, you know, is it really having that pre-canned? Because basically you're going to be able to produce a lot of the content through whatever large learning language model you're using anyway. We have to see. Nobody really knows. Google Classroom, totally free. You get special prices if you've got to buy it through Workspace for Education. I think they get a major discount. I don't know much about, I would never use it because I wouldn't want my child sharing results and information with Google. I don't trust them. I wouldn't trust, and I certainly wouldn't want my school sharing educational results with Google. But that's my opinion. What was your thoughts, Kurt?
So I agree with you on the Google thing, but at a higher level through user experience as the student and user experience as the creator. And then before I give that, I just wanted to say, because I don't think I said it, Talent LMS. Did we talk about Talent LMS?
Yeah, I kind of put Talent with Exorb together.
Yeah, because it's one of my, just for the record, for those listening, because I didn't say this out loud, and I want to make sure I give them the right kudos. Talent LMS is fantastic. I've used it before, and it's very intuitive. Very easy to track their dashboards, color coding, like all of it. Looks good, works good, feels good, does everything. I don't like the prices, but that's, you know, it's your budget. That's not my budget. We're not shopping with my wallet today. We're shopping with yours. The Google thing to me is a nightmare. You know how like Google had Google Circles and then it had Google Plus and then it had Google, some kind of messaging thing that faded away. I feel that way with the Google Classroom. I feel like features get added, features get removed. You're an instructor and you go to find something and it's been discontinued or removed or access to something has changed. students constantly getting like, verify your identity, have a parent do this, have a parent do that, because they have that family check-in thing for kids. It really is kind of a nightmare to use. It's just, I know that Google is the behemoth of the web space, and we're all supposed to bow down, but I really, really struggle with Google products and their ability to keep something going and keep it straightforward.
It's not that surprising, because this is such a small bit of their, you know, their focus is on search and AI, you know, that's, and Android. I think they're the big pillars, search, yeah, AI, Android. They're the big money makers, or the possibility of making a lot of money.
And I don't have a high trust factor with them. Like, even if they said, we are not training our large learning models on your kids' behavior, I wouldn't trust them that was true.
No.
I don't like the platform. I don't like how it works. And no matter what, somebody, like if you're in an organization, because this whole show is about higher education, colleges and universities, somebody on some boardroom somewhere is going, oh, but it's free, so we have to use it. And that is the worst way to make a decision for your learning content.
Well, let's go on to the kind of open source WordPress. I'm going to change the order. I'm going to start with Moodle, which is quasi open source. They offer open source version, and then you can get a hosted supported version from them and third party players as well. If somebody was asking you about Moodle, what would you say, Kirk? So I know that you have done projects in Moodle.
Yeah, I just did a test installation on Moodle about 3 months ago, just to make sure that not too much had changed, you know, on me since I had seen it last. Moodle is extremely powerful, Jonathan. I mean, granular control over content and users, and you get this, big itemized menu in the background where you can split everything up. And once you get used to it, you feel empowered. Like, if you're the course creator, if you're the learning administrator for an organization, you can really get the impression that you feel like it's a very competent platform. And I believe it probably is a competent platform. But there's another side to this, which is the user interface is horrible. Students get lost. You're constantly getting support tickets to reset passwords and where do I find this and where do I find that? And I couldn't figure out what the next course was or the next lesson was. And I ended up having to, when I ran a training program on Moodle, I had to do an awful lot of like tutorial type, like proactive tutorials to show people like how to use the platform, how to this, how to that, because it just wasn't very intuitive. The first thing that comes up when you install Moodle is a calendar. And that kind of signifies like what it was made for, right? If we think about e-learning as being like an asynchronous learning adventure, the calendar is the last thing that we need because everyone's learning at their own pace on their own days. But for some reason, Moodle, when you install it, boom, now you got a calendar. And then people instantly struggle trying to figure out how they're going to make asynchronous learning fit into a synchronous structure. And there's a lot of contradictions in that. So I think the platform is extremely powerful. I also think it is extremely confusing for the average user.
I think I'm right. I might be wrong about this. Didn't they, the company start, and they might still be based in Australia?
Oh, I don't know.
I think I might be wrong here, but I think...
I used to, back when I first got on with Ducati used to have an external third-party training network for the technicians. And my task when I went to Ducati was to internalize the training. And one of the first things I did was build, you know, a Moodle online version of training for Ducati. So I, you know, and we had all of the dealerships in North America and all the technicians were part of that program. I mean, it was trial by fire. It was instant. I just had to put in hundreds of people and lots of content and then, you know, pray that it worked. And it did. It worked. It was reliable. And like I said, over time, I felt very confident that there was a lot of functionality and a lot of granular control over things. It's just, it was really difficult for the users to really grab.
Yeah, and they've updated it, but I think a lot of the things that you're saying still applies.
I went through the updated version of it and it's changed and it looks cleaner, but it's the same confusion that was there before.
it, like I say, they've got a free version which you self-host, and then you got to provide your own support or buy support from third parties. And they've got a paid version that starts, which I think is very, they've got a kind of parent company that's also the commercial, and that starts at $120 a month for 50 users.
Yeah, little piece of trivia. When you get, like, with a custom design house that's going to make you a bespoke learning management system for $250,000, it's normally based on Moodle. So these companies will take the open source version of Moodle, they'll reskin it, they'll pare down those menus. When you're working on a corporate e-learning platform and it's really clean and it has like three options at the top of the page and then the learning content in the center of the page, those really simple LMSs that cost a fortune are generally made on Moodle. They're just reskinned. So Moodle's the basis for a ton of learning platforms.
Yeah. All right. On to the next one. I've got to change the order a little bit. Let's talk about LearnDash. I think for various reasons, I think in this, because I kind of cut the e-learning from internal training and public-facing training where you're selling subscriptions. Mm. Most of the systems we're talking about are really internal-facing. With the two leading WordPress, they can be both, and they can be both very effectively. But I think because of when LearnDash started and the background of the founders and how Google historically sees LearnDash, when you're doing a search for internal training and a WordPress solution, a lot of the time LearnDash comes up, and it's a very good product. So if you were explaining LearnDash with the proviso of internal training, how would you explain it to people, Kurt?
That's kind of a trick question you just gave me there, Jonathan. If it's internal training and I'm not selling the courses and I'm just going to be putting people into training and assigning training and doing that from like an intranet perspective, chances are I'm going to recommend a different product, one that includes the membership tools with it.
I would have thought, you surprised me there. Sorry.
Yeah, I kind of did. And sorry if I took you off kilter there. It's certainly affordable, right? At $199 per year, it's certainly affordable. And it will work for what you want to do, right? So you can assign people the training. It could be a subdomain in your main company or something like that. So from an intranet perspective, LearnDash will do the job. It'll give the courses. It'll do that. I still like to have a little more control over, like, and I call it members, but it's my users, my student list. And so I would still want to have a membership plugin. I would still want to be able to group people together in certain ways. And to do that, I would use either MemberDash or some other type of membership third-party plugin on top of LearnDash. It's just the way that my brain works and putting those platforms together. And so I know that we're going to talk about another one that includes the member tools with it, and from an intranet perspective is also free. So that's why I would recommend a different product in that situation.
Yeah, I don't disagree what you're saying. It's just that I think one of the great weaknesses of LearnDash is when it's public facing, because you are going to have to either utilize a third party membership plugin, or you're going to have to use WooCommerce. If you use WooCommerce, they do provide an add-on, which they provide for free when you buy a license, which is $199, which for what it can do, I think is a bargain. And I just see its main weakness, i.e. you're going to have to, if you're public-facing and you're selling a subscription, if it's internal, that weakness is removed. And I think when it comes to UX design and functionality, it's a good product. And it's reliable, and universities have used it and used it very successfully. successively on to another one, which I feel can do both external and internal very well, as well as LearnDash, but because the way Google, and for historical reasons, gets more exposure for external, but based on my experience, can do both, is Lifter LMS. So
yeah,
you're an expert on Lifter. We love Lifter. We love LearnDash, and we love Lifter LMS at WP Tonic. Where would you start the conversation with Lifter LMS?
Well, with Lifter LMS, it comes with, you know, the membership student management tools and the learning content tools in the free core plugin. And so when it comes, like when your question was from an internal learning perspective, you know, how would you have that conversation? I think it would be like, hey, you know, you can try this for free. You've already got a WordPress website. We could put this free core version in. It's going to give you the ability to manage and assign students, have the courses. Because of the way that the membership tools work, I'm able to assign students or auto-enroll students in groups of courses, right, as packages. So let's say somebody, takes a certain course load. They could say, oh, I signed up for this track, this course track. You could have that course track actually be in a membership and then auto-enroll those courses right away. And so to me, I just think from the free core version, I get a little bit more bang for the buck, and the idea that it's a free core version, they get to try it, experiment with it, put their content into it, and get used to it before they make that commitment of having purchased something on a timeline.
So if you had to choose from the SaaS list, is there one or two that you would choose if somebody was asking you, it's got to be a SaaS solution, Kurt, and which one would you choose, Kurt?
Well, there's one that we didn't mention that I have some experience with. It's called Bridge LMS. And that's good user interface, all that kind of stuff. But realistically, out of the ones that we discussed, I'd probably lean towards Talent LMS.
Yeah, I think the two, it would either be Talent LMS or it would be Canvas. Depending on the organization. But I do like Talent LMS. Absorb LMS, obviously, they've got their AI, they're playing hard, and it's interesting. But I do like the pricing structure from Talent. Another one that I didn't add to the list, but it's similar to what we said about Lifter LMS. It can do both, but it's one I like quite a lot, is Learn Worlds. Because they do offer a lot. I wouldn't go with the basic plan because I wouldn't say it's crippled, but there's some parts of it that I wouldn't recommend, but they've got a next plan up. But I do like Learn Worlds, but because we were talking about higher education, I had to set some kind of boundaries, but I do like Learn Worlds. If you want an outsider, a black course, have a look at Learn Worlds. But in general, in the SaaS world, I personally would look at Talent LMS. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and there's different reasons for all these things. For instance, LearnUpon's one that I have recent experience with, and you get these weird dashboards that pop up for different things. You got to click this, get a dashboard. Click this, get a dashboard. Then upload your SCORM content. Then upload your text sister content to it. And then upload this module. And when you're doing this, you're completely removed from what the user experience is. You have no idea what it's going to look like in the front of the website. None. You're just filling in fields in the back end. And then you got to go to the front end to see, well, what does this even look like? And I feel like Talent LMS bridges that gap a little bit better when we're talking about these other SaaS platforms. It's more intuitive the way that you're loading the content in versus what you see on the front end. It just feels smoother. The user experience for the creator and for the student is just a little cleaner than some of the things that I've experienced elsewhere.
When it comes to the open source and WordPress, which one would you recommend?
Well, I do have to admit, Jonathan, I mean, we talk about Lifter LMS quite a bit, and people are going to think that, you know, I'm on the take. I really like Lifter, but it's the majority of the work that I do in the e-learning space now. Between Lifter LMS and LearnDash, there is absolutely no reason for me, especially if it's my wallet, to look at any of these SaaS platforms. Because when you're in the WordPress space, you don't just get the benefit of the LMS. Now you have an LMS surrounded by a complete CMS. So you can have static pages, you can put community in there, you can have a CRM working in the background. I mean, you can really apply yourself and make a real kick-ass learning platform in the WordPress space, that a lot more so than what I'm going to get. Like even in the Moodle space, there's a ton of add-ons in the Moodle space. But when you try to build it and put it together, you end up being like a quasi-developer to make it happen. Whereas I feel like in the WordPress space, things are a little more intuitive. That's all. So for me, it'd be between LearnDash and Lifter LMS. And when it comes down to any kind of memberships or bundling courses together or putting packages together, I'm always going to kind of go the Lifter LMS way just because I believe their way is a lot simpler in putting those deals together than it is with LearnDash.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The thing I would add is that I don't think for internal training, I think WordPress is a fantastic solution because of ease of use. It drives 43 to 45% of all websites. People have used it. They've probably used it for their own websites. They know how to use the back end. I probably would still go with Lifter LMS just for the support, just for the quality of support you're going to get, all the things that the Lifter LMS team does online around support and training and just the culture of the company. It's not to say that the LearnDash team are bad, because I know them as well and they're a very good team and it's a good product. It's great value. Obviously, Lifter LMS Start is free, the core, but what you get, but they're both excellent value. But it's just the support and the culture at Lifter LMS, which I think is some of the best in the market. So,
one more thing to touch on before we really lose focus on kind of how we talked about things today. When you mentioned the pricing for Canvas, Canvas was the one that was $5 per month per student, right? Was that the one?
Yep.
So I have 1,000 students. That's $5,000 a month.
Yep.
Like that is the whole reason that I ended up in the WordPress space. So when people look at me now and I do all these different shows and I have all these opinions, it's, well, how did he get here, right? If I have all this e-learning experience from the corporate world, how did I get here? I got here because I watched companies stroke checks for $250,000, $400,000 a year in some cases for learning management websites that were horrible, that didn't function well, that people hated. And I knew that we could build something better in WordPress. And then we have conversations about, well, $199 a year for LearnDash. That's not even a consideration for people that are thinking $5 per learner per month, right?
So, well, it's a little bit because, you know, you do need to find an agency, nod, WP Tonic.
Yeah.
You need to find an agency, and there's about three or four in the e-learning space. I'm trying to develop WP Tonic as it's seen as one of those four. You do need an agency that's got experience in that area to provide the support on top of whatever Lifter or LearnDash provides and can be your partner, but it'll still be enormously more cost-effective than some of these corporate solutions. And you've got much more ownership in IP, intellectual property ownership and design ownership. I think one of the other factors, just to finish, I just want to get your opinion, is that AI, I think when it comes to SCORM and providing these integrated packages like SCORM, where you have the animation and in one wrapper, I really think with AI developing the days of these wrapper solutions for education, I can see the writing on the wall, really. Would you agree with that, or do you think I might be wrong about that? It's difficult to tell, isn't it?
I hesitate to say the writing's on the wall for one very simple thing, and that is, and people listening to this might get hurt by what I say. I don't mean any malice on this at all. But when I talk to learning professionals in the corporate and higher end learning world, they talk about curriculum development as if it's this crazy advanced, you know, futuristic wonder world of things. And when you do the search on SCORM and when it was developed and when it was last updated, you're like, oh my goodness, these people are running around on 20-year-old technology talking about how advanced they are. There's a dichotomy in...
Yeah.
And so when you say, oh, AI does this, I could see this going the other direction. I don't know.
I totally understand. I totally understand what you're saying. I've been amazed how long it's been able to keep going. But for the reason I think you've so well put it, but I think AI will be the death of it. I hope so, because it's hard.
Maybe they finally update it and use AI and it becomes something amazing. Yeah. You know, not for nothing. I went to Skills USA a couple seasons ago and Yamaha had a complete thing set up with virtual reality learning with the goggles and the headsets, and guys are working on imaginary motorcycles and cars. And it's like, talk about the coolest thing ever, like straight out of the movies. But by the time... Same as everything else, when you look at what it costs to make a course in that environment, it's not financially feasible yet.
No, but that's why I think AI, because it will be blown all out of reality. But I think a bit like the early days of the internet were blown out of reality, and it took much longer, and it was a much more gradual process. But I do think the cost of making really reasonably quality training materials and that is going to become a lot more easier and a lot more cost effective. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Kurt?
I've been trying my best to keep up with my LinkedIn. I'll be honest, folks, it's getting to be a challenge. But I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn. So for a person-to-person connection, that's probably one of the best ways to do it. And then if it's for business, I am at Mañana No Más.
Yeah, and if you found value in this particular podcast and the other episodes of the Membership Machine Show, I've got to ask for you, if you're on your phone and you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, can you leave us a review? It really does help the show, and it helps with where we rank in the membership e-learning space. If you could do that, we both, me and Kirk, would be very appreciative. It's really dead easy to leave a review on the app, on iTunes or on Spotify. You just scroll down, it's right in front of you. And if you could do that, that we would be, both of us, very appreciative. We will be back next week with information to share with you to make your membership business successful or your e-learning more effective. We will be back soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.